Hey there. Welcome to Renewing the Center. It is good to be with you today. Thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. Today, we're going to be continuing our series, reflecting upon the questions that God asks. We're going to be with Jesus today in the Gospel of Matthew, contemplating the question Jesus asks two blind men. He asks them, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" I'm going to read a short passage from Matthew 20, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to hold this question together to listen both to the question Jesus is asking these two particular fellows, but also how this same question comes to you and me as we live our lives. But first, let's read. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, and then let's try to hear the question Jesus asked. Father, we ask that you would give us insight into the Bible today. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability, wherever we are, in our car, on a walk, on a run, sitting in our study, doing the dishes, Lord, we pray that you would give us the grace to be truly present. God, we pray that we would not only hear the text and understand it, Lord, but we pray that we would hear the question, "What do you want me to do for you, Lord?" We pray today that you would give us access to both our need and our desire. We pray, God, that we would, as the two blind men do in this story, that we would answer the question. But God, I also pray that you would help us to get into the question, to get to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to set the scene for us a little bit, because this is a story, a moment in Jesus's life that is full of it's full of movement, it's full of energy, it's full of imagery, and we're meant to enter into the story, I think, if we're going to really hold it. So there's a large crowd of people moving. People are following Jesus. Jesus is moving through town, and there's like a throng of people that are with him, that are moving. There are two blind men, and they are not following Jesus. They're not moving. They're not with the crowd. They are seated by the road. And right away, we're meant to notice that. There's a lot of movement, and then there are two people who are stuck. They're begging for alms. They're seeking charity from the community, which is a beautiful provision within Judaism that people who were compromised, whether that's through paralysis or blindness, there was a provision in the law where people could sit at a familiar place in the middle of the city center, and they could and would ask for mercy. They would ask for acts of kindness, and people would offer them provision. It was a way for people to eke out a living, to survive, but they are stuck. They're utterly dependent upon generosity and kindness in the community. They are powerless. And we're meant to see these two people as being stuck, powerless, unable to justify themselves. They can't fix their own problems. And right there, I want to invite you to identify with these two people. Oftentimes, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make when we're reading the Bible is that we identify with the people who have it together. Our hearts want to be better off or more competent, more confident than we actually are. And one of my spiritual practices is to find the most needy, most broken, most desperate, most requiring the intervention of God person in any story and identify with that person. So we're meant to find ourselves in the two blind men. So they can't fix their problem. They literally probably can't even find Jesus. But they can, and they do, cry out. And this is so important for this question that God asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" There was a step of faith, a risk that preceded the question. Essentially, what these two men do is they place themselves in a position to be questioned by God. Jesus is walking through town. There are people all around him. There's a lot of noise, a lot of energy. The crowd is there, and these two people are aware of their need, and they cry out to Jesus. They say, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They're willing to press through resistance, and there is resistance here. I think this is really important for us as we hope to hear this question around desire and need. We first have to articulate a crying out to God. And some of us have lost our voice. There have been seasons where I've lost my voice, where I either wasn't aware of my need, or I was so down in my need that I could not cry out, or I wouldn't, or didn't have the energy to cry out. And these two men in this instance, I believe, are meant to be our teachers. They are aware of their need. They are in a place of stuckness, and they no longer want to be stuck. They don't want to remain there. And so they cry out to Jesus. And the crowds, presumably, you know, good religious people, like well-intentioned people. I mean, we're told in other stories that the disciples themselves try to silence people. So it might have been, you know, Peter and Andrew and James and John, Matthew, they may have been silencing these two fellas. And yet when they are attempted to be silenced, they cry out more and more and more. And I want you to think about need and desire in your life. I want you to think about the places in your life that are trying to silence you, to get you to just resign yourself to the stuckness, to being where you are, to being on the sidelines. And I want you to let these two blind men teach you something. I think that there's something from the Lord here. I think that there is an invitation for us to cry out for his help and his mercy. So they do. They cry out twice. They say the same thing. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then Jesus notices them. He stops and he asks them the critical question. He says, what do you want me to do for you? It's important for us to hear that this question, what do you want me to do for you, is in response to their crying out. They are persistent, and God asks them a question about their need and about their desire. What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And I find it telling. I actually really love it that he asks, because on one level, Jesus could have easily assumed what they wanted, that they wanted to have their eyesight. And that is, in fact, what they want. They want to see. But he doesn't assume. He doesn't take away their opportunity to respond to him. And I think that that's really important for you and for me. This may be the most important question God asks us. What do you want me to do for you? He asks it of these two blind men. He doesn't take away their dignity. He doesn't take away their ability to name their need. And I think that there's something really important for us here. It's one thing to be needy, to have need. It's another thing to be able to articulate it and to name it. I mean, just today, things don't feel quite right. I feel a little off in my spirit, and I am like trying to figure out what it is. You know, it's things in life are going really well. And yet I still feel this thing that's off. And even today I've been praying, God, help me understand what my need is. Help me understand how to verbalize, to have insight, to verbalize what it is that I want from you. What do I need from you? Jesus is in this moment asking these two people to do two things. He's saying, I want you to name your need, and I want you to name your desire. What do you want? I think it's a really important question. What do we want? And I can't speak for you, but for me, it's oftentimes really hard, really difficult for me to articulate what I want, what I desire. And I don't know exactly why that's the case, but it's hard for me. It's hard for me to get down to it and really just say it. Maybe that's hard for you too. I think that's why it's one of the most important questions God puts to us as we live our lives. What do we desire? What do we want God to do? Well, they want their eyes to be opened, and there's so much going on here, because sight for them would unstick them. It would take them from sidelined to participating. It would take them from powerlessness to empowered. It would take them from being a passive recipient to someone who is actively engaged. A lack of sight had made them stationary, and sight would get them moving again. So they want to see. And Jesus, I find it telling that when they get to their deepest desire, Jesus doesn't just preach a sermon to them. He doesn't just say some powerful or comforting or kind words to them. He actually touches the vulnerable part. And I want you to put yourself in the disciple, in these two would-be disciples, because we're told that they follow him, these two blind men. I want you to put yourself in their shoes. They're naming the most vulnerable thing about them, their sightlessness. And Jesus moves toward them and he physically touches the place that is most vulnerable. And if you could just for a moment close your eyes and imagine someone touching your face. You can't see them moving toward you. You can feel them coming close to you, and then they touch you. That's exactly what happened to these two people. And I think that there's something actually both cathartic and uncomfortable here. In my own life with God, the places where I am able to name my vulnerability, my neediness, the places where I'm able to name the brokenness, the sin, the hurt, the powerlessness, when God moves close to those places, it's oftentimes very uncomfortable. It's like you feel already insecure there. And then when someone touches the insecure place, it's terrifying. Our instinct is to recoil, it's to pull back. And maybe that's what these two guys did, but they asked for it. Jesus touched their hurt. He touched their brokenness. He touched the place that wasn't functioning, and he did it in order to heal. And when Jesus met them in their need and their desire, the result is they're able to get up, and we're told at the end of the passage that they join the crowd and they follow Jesus. So they go from being sidelined to being in the flow of things. And I believe that that's one of the things that God wants to do for each and every one of us. His deep desire is to pull you off the sidelines and get you moving again. So what do you want him to do for you? I want to invite you to spend some time today contemplating that question that God asked, that Jesus asked. What do you want me to do for you? And as we're able to name our need and our desire, I believe that those are the very places where God will begin to move close to us. He will begin to touch us in some vulnerable places, meet us where we need meeting. God bless you. Go in peace.